Lord, we pray that this morning you would bless our fellowship.
Amen.
Cleanse us once again with your precious blood.
Amen.
Sanctify our heart.
Amen.
We do open our hearts to you, to the Spirit, and to the living word.
Amen.
Pray that you will speak to us and touch our heart.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, in these days, we are fellowshipping concerning the feasts, which is one of the very important things, if not one of the most important practice in the house of the living God, that is to keep the feasts. Remember this chart. Last night we started with the feast of the Passover. Remember, today in the New Testament age, don't say we don't keep the feast of the Passover anymore. Right? Remember, Paul says, let us keep the feast.
Amen.
Not just the feast of unleavened bread, but a feast of Passover. It's very clearly stated, Christ is our Passover. Right? All of you must remember the verses in the Bible. Where is it again? 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Christ, our Passover, has been sacrificed for us. This is really wonderful. And we all have to get into the Word. In the whole Bible, concerning the wonderful Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, shedding his precious blood, redeeming us. We all have to get into it. Otherwise, you wouldn't know what kind of a feast we are celebrating here. Right? If Jesus Christ is indeed our Passover, then he is the fulfillment of the feast of the Passover in the Old Testament age. Because he is the reality. That is why when Jesus came, John the Baptist pointed to him and said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. As Gentiles, we may not understand that. What does it mean, the Lamb of God? I don't see any horns there and four legs and a tail. That's a man. How can you say he is the Lamb of God? But praise the Lord. The lamb in the Old Testament days, the Passover lamb, was just a picture of Christ being sacrificed, put on the altar, right, and killed, shedding the precious blood. And God said, when I see the blood, I will pass over your house, and the firstborn will not be killed. And if I see the blood, I will forgive all of your sins, for it is written in the law, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins, no forgiveness. And Hebrews tells us, the blood of the cows and the sheep and the goats, they cannot wash away sins. That is why it says, burned offering and sin offering, meaning to say those goats and sheep and cows, their blood cannot take away sins. That is the meaning. The meaning is not that the Lord doesn't want any more burned offering and sin offering, but that those animal sacrifices God will not accept, because these are just animals. How can the blood of a sheep cleanse my sins away? Oops, oh, I'm sorry. But it is the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. You need to appreciate the precious blood. Peter said, you and I, we are not redeemed by silver or gold, no money, no millions and trillions can pay as ransom for our redemption. It is already even written in the book of Psalms. Who can redeem his brothers? even with the riches of this world, you cannot pay the price for your redemption. Only the Lord Jesus Christ, because He is the Lamb, He is the real Lamb, without any blemish. He is perfect, without sin. I cannot be a redemption for you, because I am full of sin myself. Impossible. Where are you going to find a Lamb without blemish, holy, without sin? Tell me, where are you going to find such a person? That's why the very God Himself, the Son of God, He has to come. Only He is without sin. You need to appreciate that. Because if He Himself is also sinful, then He won't be able to pay the ransom for you. It is not possible. God will not accept it. Hey, you are paying the ransom, right, to satisfy God's requirement. So, no other possibility except our wonderful Lord Jesus. That is why you need to appreciate and keep the feast of the Passover. And remember, what is the meaning of redemption again?
Being purchased.
Purchased. So when you are purchased like a slave, suppose here I'm a very rich man and I purchase you to be my slave. Now who owns you? Of course, we don't have slavery anymore today. Praise God. Right? But, hey, the Lord purchased you with a great price, a ransom. That ransom is His own life, shedding His own precious blood. So, you still belong to yourself? You sure? Do you live with the consciousness, I am not my own? I belong to Jesus. This is the meaning of redemption. Of course, not only, because it's written there in Colossians, He redeemed us by His precious blood, giving us the forgiveness of all of our sins. So based upon the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ shed on the cross, you receive the forgiveness of your sins, all of your sins. Now, tell me, do you appreciate that, really? Oh, you just take it for granted. Praise the Lord, my sins are forgiven. Hallelujah. And just walk away. When we come to keep the feast, do you really appreciate that God, through the death of Jesus Christ on the cross, forgave all of your sins? Do you appreciate that? And if you do, why will you not forgive your brothers when they just offended you a little bit? Don't take things for granted. Did not the Lord teach us to pray and forgive us our sins? Period. Now, what did He say? Huh? Louder so that everybody can hear. How about that? You know why you cannot forgive? Because you never truly appreciated your sins, which is more than the sin, the small sin that a brother offended you. You never appreciated that your sins were forgiven. So the Lord gave a story about a servant who owed the master so much and couldn't pay, and the master was going to throw him in prison. And he came and says, Lord, forgive me. And to make the long story short, the master forgave him. Then he went out and try to collect from his fellow servant, you better give me what you owe me, otherwise, oh my goodness. And when the master heard that, he called this one back. Are we keeping the feast of the Passover? Right. There are so many points. I know you know the points, but keeping the feast is not about the point, it's about the reality. It's about the enjoyment of all this. It's about your appreciation, your experience of all of these things. Right. We talk about redemption, but we still live like we are free to do anything we like. No. Paul said very clearly, right, you were bought with a price. You are not your own. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Right. So glorify God even in your body. Right. I have no more right to do whatever I want with myself. Although the Lord gave me the liberty. Because the Lord will never force you and me. But if I realize what it meant and what price he paid, then I have no more choice. Have we not ever sung a song that says, I am not my own? Have you ever sang that song? I am not my own, right? You love that song? Is it a tune? Is it a tune, your favorite tune, or is it the word? Or is it the reality? So, if you're not a person keeping this wonderful Passover feast, you will have no consciousness of that. But if you are a person keeping the feast, every time you come to the table, you will just be full of thankfulness of what the Lord has accomplished on the cross, bearing all of our sins upon himself in a tree. That's what Peter said. He who has no sin, who knew no sin, Paul said, he was made sin for us. You appreciate all this? That's all included in the Passover lamb. Right? Now, this morning, let's continue to fellowship concerning a little bit more concerning the Passover, Christ our Passover. Right? And, of course, remember, the Passover lamb is not just to save us from eternal damnation, but really to bring us out of Egypt. That is why Galatians chapter 1, verse 4. Remember all these verses, okay? Huh? Oh, you're young people. You all have a good mind, right? You don't have to have an academic mind, but just use your normal memory, you remember that. He redeemed us, shed his precious blood to deliver us out of this present evil age. Right. And the present evil age is not only the world, but religion as well. At that time, it was Judaism. Now tell me, was Judaism a good religion? It was a good religion, right? Based upon what? Based upon Confucius' teaching? No. Based upon Plato, the philosophy, or what? No. Based upon what? Scripture. Based upon the scriptures. So, was it good or bad?
Very good.
Very good. You think a good thing can put Jesus Christ to death and put him on a cross?
Seems like it.
Huh?
Seems like it.
So is it good or bad? But you just said it was good a moment ago. We all heard it, right? It's good and bad. It's a new philosophy. It's a new philosophy. The Lord says, you generation of vipers. Only the Lord knew, because he knew the heart. He sees the heart. The Lord called them hypocrite. Don't think religion is good. Religion has a very special effect to make bad men look good. Oh, Lord Jesus. May the Lord open our eyes. And so the Passover lamb is to deliver us out of that. Right? To deliver us out of this present evil age. Not future, not in the past, but the present evil age, which is the system of this world, an age, a cosmos, right? An aeon, a special age there. Because in every age, the devil have his design to capture you and to hold you there so that you'll not be free to follow the living God. So, are you keeping the feast of the Passover? Are you? Right. And then the blood of Jesus Christ also made peace. We have peace with God. Colossians 1, probably verse 20. We have peace with God through the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because he paid the price. Otherwise, how can you have peace with God? You have the forgiveness of all of your sins. Isn't that good? I appreciate so much deep in my heart that my sins have been forgiven. If not, one day you face the judge of all. Revelation chapter 20 tells us one day all will appear, the unbelievers, before the great white throne of God. And books will be opened. You cannot hide yourself. It may even be a digital book. Why? Because everything is written in your memory. You cannot erase it. You say, no, I didn't do that. The Lord will just press the button. And all of a sudden, you remember everything you did. You have a built-in hard disk. Is it a hard disk? So how are you going to escape? Hallelujah. It is written in John, 1 John chapter 1 verse 7, and the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ cleanses us from every sin. Isn't that good? Don't you appreciate that? Or you take it for granted? The Lord paid a wonderful great price to forgive you from all of your sins. And when you come to the feast, what do? Just drink that little sip of wine and take that little piece of bread and hallelujah and go home. Is that the way you enjoy and keep the feast of Passover? And then it says here, and definitely in Hebrews 9:14, it says what? And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from our conscience. Cleanse our conscience from dead works to serve the living God. A conscience. Do you have a good conscience? How often did you take the Lord's blood to clean your conscience? When was the last time? When was the last time you have your conscience cleansed? Because if your conscience is not cleansed, it becomes dull. You have no more feeling. You see these glasses? Suppose I didn't clean it for 3 months already and I still wear it. You think I'm going to see well? Oh, where is Mo here? I don't see Mo here. He's sitting right in front of me and I don't see Mo. Because I'm wearing a pair of glasses that has not been cleansed for 3 months. You think I can still see? You would say, oh, nobody wears a pair of glasses that was not clean. That's right. Nobody should. But, you know, but if I've been doing that and I'm used to it already, let's put it in. I'm so used to it already. It's my habit now. Just take the glasses without cleaning it as wear it. No wonder I don't see a thing. You know, remember what Paul said in 1 Timothy chapter 1? Concerning what? The conscience being seared, your faith will suffer shipwreck. You will sink. No wonder so many brothers today and so many Christians today, they have no more conscience because they cannot tell anymore, because the Spirit cannot tell you anything anymore. You're very well insulated from the Holy Spirit. You have a thick layer of whatever it is there. Your spirit, your conscience becomes so, what? Numb. Exactly what Paul said in Ephesians chapter 4. Having passed all feelings, that means you have no more feeling. Everything is okay, 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 and okay. Because you have no more sensitivity. Your conscience is no longer sensitive. You don't feel it anymore. If you don't feel, you would know it won't bother you anymore. Right? So, Christ, our Passover lamb, shedding his precious blood. Right? And it is by this wonderful precious blood you enter into the Holy of Holies. Where is it written? Verse 19. Good. Wonderful. That's very good. Amen. But I hope it's not just in your memory. You practice it. With this wonderful precious blood, you have the new and living way to enter into the Holy of Holies, to have fellowship with God. Why you talk about fellowship? Fellowship? How can you have fellowship when you have no more feeling and hardly any more feeling? If your heart is full of hatred, how can you have fellowship with God? If I hate George, my brother, I hate my brother George. And I want to go in fellowship with God. You think it works? You think it works? God will run away from you. You think you're fellowshipping with God, but he's not there. I don't know what you're fellowshipping, maybe with a wall or something. All of these are included. And then how are you going to overcome Satan with all of your dirt and problems and a dead, seared conscience? Are you going to overcome Satan? Now, where is it written we overcome him by the blood of the Lamb? Revelation chapter 12, verse 10. And they overcame the accuser of the brethren by the blood of the Lamb. Are you accusing your brethren? I don't want to accuse anyone. No. Dear brothers, I'm dealing with the truth. I don't accuse anybody. Yeah. In my heart, I don't want to be against anyone. And before God, I hope the Lord can really bear witness. I refuse to accuse anyone, but I will speak the truth concerning the Word of God, concerning the matter of worship. Oh Lord, are we keeping the feast of Passover? Now, after hearing all these and even more, you know, we cannot, of course, of course, we can if we have the time to touch all the aspects and all the points concerning the wonderful, precious blood, right? For it's written there, even in Hebrews chapter 9, for without the shedding of the blood, there is no remission, no forgiveness. So, we keep such a wonderful feast. Are we keeping such a feast in when we come together? If you are keeping such a feast, can you still accuse anyone? Is that a way we... Is it a feast of accusation? If I ever accuse anyone, I should accuse myself. But I'm glad the Lord Jesus forgave me. And after he forgave me, I go about accusing you, Aussie. What do you think? Not good. Not good. Definitely not good. Not good for whom? Not good for me because you're accusing me? It's not good for you. Not only not good for the accused one, but not good for the accuser. I don't want to be caught being an accuser of the brethren. What a wonderful feast. If you really enjoy this wonderful feast, you're free. Free because of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Right. And it's by his precious blood that Christ became our peace. Wonderful peace. Peace with God and peace with man. I hope that one of you brothers or we'll do some homework and put all of these wonderful verses together. Right? Amen? You know, I can't put all of the verses together here, otherwise we're going to have a thick outline. Right? Do you want a thick outline? No, right? No, we don't need a thick outline. But I just put maybe a few verses which you are not very familiar, like being redeemed from your aimless manner of life. You thought, oh, this is not important. Well, who says it's not important? What is the aim of your life? Tell me. What is the goal of your life? On top of your head right now, out of your heart, what is the goal of your life? Don't keep thinking, oh yeah, what is the goal of my life? That means you don't know. If I ask you, what is your major in school? You say, oh, my major in school? Wait a minute. Am I in school? You better know. What is your aim right now? Aim is for the building of God's house. Why? Oh, so that we can be the true worshipers. And why are you going to be the true worshipers? So that I can be the first fruit. Why you want to be the first fruit? I want to be raptured to the throne before the great tribulation. And why that? Because I am going to be the co-king with Christ in the millennial kingdom. Hallelujah. Amen. Whoa. Look at that. I know my goal. I know what I want. Do you know what you want? What is the aim of your Christian life? You think I'm joking? I hope I'm not. I will not talk to you about things that I myself have not experienced, even at least a little bit, as the reality. Keeping the feast of Passover. Right. So wonderful. It's a wonderful thing to do. That's why the Lord says, year after year, you all, it's a perpetual memorial feast from generation to generation. Oh, the next generation, you have to know. Don't be bothered by the word next generation, the younger generation. I really love the younger generation. I'm so concerned for the next generation to know everything that I know and even more that you need to go on with the Lord. God is concerned that only this generation knows, the next generations know nothing. This is not right. But it is from generation to generation. And the next generation should build upon what the Lord has shown in this generation, in our generation, until we reach the goal. Otherwise, there's no future for a church life. Right. I don't know what more to say. I think I have said everything I need to say. Right. Concerning keeping the feast of the Passover. Right. God specifically told his people from generation to generation, you have to keep this feast. And if the young generation asks you, why are you keeping this feast? You should tell them the whole story. We were in Egypt before, mistreated by the Pharaoh. We were slaves there, captured, enslaved. And even the Pharaoh would kill all the male, the firstborn, any child born male will be killed and all that. You have to tell them the story. Otherwise, they will love Egypt. What's so bad with Egypt? It's wonderful. Look at the beautiful pyramid. I don't know what to do with pyramids. It's a tomb, of course. Yeah. It's a glorified tomb. Right. Why do you want to live there? Do you want to live there? Right. Hey. You have to tell them. And how the Lord saved us out of Egypt. How the lamb was slain. How the angel of death came. And what happened when we came out and we had to cross the Red Sea. The baptism. And how the Lord was with them. And how the Lord sent 10 plagues to Egypt. How Pharaoh was so hard-headed, wouldn't let us go. And what the Lord had done. You have to tell the next generation, otherwise they wouldn't know a thing. What are you doing eating lamb? Oh, it's not bad. It tastes good. Lamb chops. You have to let the next generation know everything. Right. Praise the Lord. Right. The lamb that was slain. So wonderful. And then, of course, we have been crucified with Christ. It's so wonderful. Right? So wonderful. Huh? Too wonderful. Okay. But we cannot dwell in it. Otherwise, we won't finish. The 7 feasts, we're just in feast number 1, first feast. But even in this wonderful feast, you can really see it's a rich feast for us to enjoy. And you cannot really exhaust the enjoyment because what Christ has done for us on the cross is really wonderful, including overcoming the devil. Oh, one of the most wonderful things I enjoyed there. Oh, the death of Christ on the cross is what? Is that the one who has the power of death, namely the devil, has been destroyed on the cross. You remember Moses mentioned, right? Just as Moses, the Lord mentioned, just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Oh, you have to enjoy that. Because when the Lord died on the cross, you have to see that the serpent was there crucified. That's why the Lord joined the human race, the fallen human race. He came in the form of man. And Romans chapter 8 says, God sent his Son in the form of the flesh of sin and crucified sin on the cross. And that sin is the devil, that serpent. You need to appreciate that. Really wonderful. Really, really wonderful. And then in Galatians chapter 5, at the very end, it says, and they that are Christ have crucified what? The flesh with what? Its passions and its lusts. Amen? Amen. Are you keeping that faith? More and more. This is too wonderful. All of this, eh? Do your homework tonight. Do your homework tonight. And put a list of all this wonderful thing because we're going to keep the feast, right? And if we come together to keep that wonderful feast, you can see it, Lord. When you say, thank you, Lord, for your wonderful death on the cross, then the Lord will see what you meant. Because within your heart, you have all of this wonderful enjoyment. Amen. That's the first feast. If you find out more, please feel free to stand up and add them tomorrow morning to the list. Right? Feel free. This is too great and this is too wonderful. Lord, we want to keep the feast of the Passover. Amen. Isa, wonderful feast. You like this feast? Let's keep it. Now, let us go to the second feast. But actually, it's not the second feast. It is the feast that is celebrated at the same time with the Passover. And many more times it is called the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Isn't this wonderful? Before that, let me ask, which one of us here in this room is unleavened? No leaven. No leaven. Do you have leaven? No leaven. A lot of leaven. Some leaven. You know, one of the things, the characteristic of leaven is that it is hidden. Sometimes hard to find, and you don't see it. That's why in Matthew chapter 13, there's a parable about a woman who took leaven and what?
Hid it.
You don't see it. It's hard because it's hidden in your heart. If you do not look for it, even if you look for it, you cannot see it. You have to go to the heavenly doctor, to the heavenly cardiologist, and have your heart examined. Then you can find out what is in it. Where the leaven is, the Lord's light has to shine in you. Because if you don't have the light of life, you will not know. You will not know. You know, when the Lord Jesus came to this earth at a time when Judaism was so prevailing and everybody thought it was a very good thing, but when this wonderful light of the world came, the life who is the light, and the light shines in darkness, right? In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Amen. And the light shines in darkness. But unfortunately, men love darkness more than light. So if there is darkness, then is a very good place for something to hide there. But if you're full of light and you are in the light, then it's very difficult to hide. Right? The children always like to play hide and seek. Hide and seek. If you are not in the light and God is light, you will not discover a lot of things in your heart. Tell me, is your heart good or wicked? How do you know it's wicked? How do you know your heart is wicked? Because it is written. At least it is written that our heart is more wicked than anything else.
Deceitful above all.
Deceitful above all things. Oh, Lord Jesus. But do you know it? Do you feel that you are very deceitful and wicked? No, why not? Although it is written. Because you have no light. Because we don't learn to walk in the light. And if there is no light, then you cannot find out all the leaven that is hidden. You know, the enemy is very subtle to hide so many leaven in our heart. All the storm, the stones, the pebbles, the little things there, right? All the thorns and thistles and so many little things hidden in your heart you just don't know. So, the only person who is without leaven and free from sin, free from any kind of leaven, right, is our Lord Jesus Christ. He is without sin. Now, I made a little list of here. Right. Concerning the fine, perfect humanity of our Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah. You have to go through this outline. Because if we go through it just point by point, we will have no time. Right? But you need to know what leaven is. How many types of leaven? Let us go to B, point B. Right? The parable of the woman hiding leaven in 3 measures of fine flour. Number one, you have the leaven of Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the Herodians. That is in Matthew chapter 16, verse 6 and 12, and Mark 8:15. If you read those verses, the Lord warned his disciples concerning the leaven of the Pharisees, and also the leaven of the Sadducees. Now, what is the difference between the Pharisees and the Sadducees? One brother, I used to know this dear brother, he's very humorous. He says, they are far, you see, far he sees. That's the Pharisees, they're really far away, far he sees. And they are sad, you see. They're really sad, you see. They're very sad. One is very far, or the other one is very sad. I don't know what he sees far, you see, but it's the sad, you see. So you... But, no, that's just to make you laugh a little bit. Otherwise, we're talking about terrible leaven. Otherwise, we'll be weeping, right? The Pharisees are the fundamentals. They're the fundamentalists. They stick to the Bible, to the letter, until it kills. That's why Paul says, the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. But the Sadducees are the ancient modernists. They don't believe in the Spirit. They don't believe in miracles. They don't believe in resurrection. Right? They don't believe in anything of those. No, they don't believe. Right? So they're the modernist. Right. Now today in the theology, you have the fundamental theology and you have the modern theology. So which one is better? Which one do you prefer? Choose, please. What do you choose? No, we choose the living God. Christ our God is alive, is living. We follow the living Lamb. In Revelation 14, you need to follow the Lamb wherever he goes. God is not a doctrine. Even if the doctrine is right, you get hooked up with that doctrine, you will go to a dead end. No. It is life. Our God is living. He is a living God. Don't forget that. Right? That is why it says to cleanse our conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Otherwise, you'll be just doing some dead works. You know, people say, yeah, you're right, you're dead right. You're dead right. You're right, but you're dead. You may be very right, but you're also very... What? You said it, right? Very dead. So you're dead right. But what is better, dead right or dead wrong? If you're dead, it doesn't matter whether you're right or wrong. Dead. 死了就什么都没有用了，对错都没有用，已经死了，有什么用处啊？ So the Lord warned his disciples concerning not only the leaven of the Pharisees, which is dead right, but also the leaven of the Sadducees, which is dead wrong. I don't want to be dead right, neither do I want to be dead wrong. But I really want to be alive. I want to be living. I want to follow the living Christ. I want to follow the Lamb. Wherever he goes, the Lamb is alive. He's God. He's a living God. You follow him, you will never go wrong. But if you have a concept, what is right? Oh, you did this, you're absolutely wrong and wrong again and wrong and wrong. At least, then you were going to hate this man who is wrong and you become enemy. Then you are dead right. Although, and he's dead wrong perhaps. Who knows if he is wrong or he is right, but you are dead right. And then you're dead. And the worst thing is you didn't know it. Oh, Lord. The leaven, it's terrible. You know, religious leaven is the most dangerous of all because you don't know it is leaven. So even the disciples, when they heard the Lord Jesus says, oh, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, they said, oh, my, yeah. Maybe the Lord is saying we forgot to bring bread because the Lord told them to feed 10,000 and they didn't have bread. So now the Lord says, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. The disciples scratch their head. And says, my goodness, yeah, we made a blunder again. We forgot to buy bread. Then the Lord says, haven't you seen me producing and producing and reproducing bread for 10,000 people? Why are you concerned about physical bread? Then they understood the Lord is warning them concerning the teaching, the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. One is fundamental, traditional, old tradition, ancient, and the other one is very modern, unscriptural, no life at all, no spirit, no resurrection, no nothing. What kind of leaven is better? And then, of course, you have the Herodians. Right. The leaven of Herod. But there it really meant Herodians, because these Herodians, these followers of Herod, they thought that King Herod is the Messiah. You have to remember, in those days, they are waiting for the Messiah. And for them, the Messiah is a king that's going to help them and save them. So Herod was a king, and they thought Herod was the Messiah. So that's absolutely wrong, 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 right? It's more wrong than the Sadducees, right? No matter what it is, they're all leaven. Leaven. You know, you may not hate leaven, but the Lord hates leaven. Leaven is terrible. You know why the Jews were like that? And against the Messiah? Who influenced them to be against the Messiah? Tell me. It's the leaven. The whole practice there became traditional. Routine practice. Outward form. Everything looks good. Everything looks peaceful. Everything looks good. But something was not right. And this is what causes the people to become like that. So we all need to wake up and says, no, Lord, get rid of any kind of leaven, be it of the Pharisees. And then, of course, the Pharisees, the scribes, the chief priests, they love the Moses seeds. You know, the Moses seeds. Because they are be respected by all. They are there sitting in the seat of Moses. Don't you like that? Do you have a throne at home? What about in the church? No throne? Praise the Lord. Right. All of these, the Lord kept on warning. You know, when I was young, I read the New Testament again and again, quite a few times. And it always bothered me because there's always fighting these people, the Pharisees, the chief priests, scribes. They were always fighting against the Lord. I said, why does it have to be reported in the Bible? Every other page of this. There comes the Pharisees again. There comes the scribes again. There the chief. Now, there is another problem. All the problems, it seems that it came from Judaism with those echelons there on top of. Why is it like that? Because the Lord wants to warn us about religion. Because our God is not a religion. God, the Lord Jesus, did not come to this earth to build up Roman Catholicism. Since when is the church Roman become Roman? Is our Lord Jesus Roman? At least you can say he's Jewish, right? No, might as well call it a Jewish Catholic Church. Right. And did the Lord come to build a system on this earth? No. He did not come to build that. We always say the church is the body of Christ. Is your body a system? It's living, a living organism, alive. Filled with yourself, right? Every part of your body is part of you, right? Right? So you have to really realize that this leaven... Oh, time is up. We have... We'll stop with 11 here.